to 1 John chapter 4. I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 1. And Paul says this: "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." And then he goes into explaining that there's going to be the forbidding to eat certain foods that God has created and allowed us to eat. So there's going to be a forbidding to eat certain foods, and even forbidding to marry. And we may be moving in that direction right now. Now, the ancient Gnostics had some of these issues going on, but I think the latter day fulfillment of this is going to be in something like the New Age movement, if it's not the New Age movement itself. So today we're going to talk about the New Age movement, and this is the doctrine of deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. And there are many people in the New Age. We have no idea to know how big the New Age movement is, because many people who are in the New Age movement think that they're Christians or think that they're Jews by faith. And in reality, they've redefined traditional Christianity. They've redefined traditional Judaism. They've accepted a reinterpretation of the scriptures. And so there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians and think they're Christians, the Oprah Winfreys of this world, who are really New Age occultists. Okay? And because our churches have decided not to offend, we don't want to bore people with complex biblical doctrines. And we don't want to bore people, or we don't want to make people feel bad by convicting them of their sin, by preaching a convicting message from the scriptures, because we want people to just feel good. And we've turned Christianity into a kind of a sanctified, Christianized self-help type of thing. There's a lot of people that attend a lot of churches that see no inconsistency with their New Age beliefs, sometimes with their Wiccan beliefs, and with what their quote-unquote evangelical church is teaching. And so we live in very scary times. But in the last days, there's going to be this great apostasy, this great falling away from the faith, where entire denominations that claim to be Christian are no longer going to be promoting and proclaiming the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview. In fact, on Facebook, Gabe Gennario, who runs the Institute of Biblical Defense.com website, he's out of Texas now. Gabe's a good friend of ours and all. And Steve Boisson, who was being fined, he went through a big battle with the Canadian Human Rights Council because he read from a passage of scriptures, Romans 1, that condemns homosexuality as a sin. So it led to a multi-million-dollar court battle and everything. But those two guys were talking on Facebook, and it was about, I don't know if it was like an Episcopal church, supposed to be a Christian church, and they were performing like a Wiccan same-sex marriage wedding. And they both talked about how they remember a couple decades ago that I was talking about how secular America is going New Age. And even before I started the church in 1988, I was warning people that America is no longer a Christian culture, but we're no longer a secular or atheistic culture either. We're now a neo-pagan culture. And a lot of people didn't see this coming. A good friend of mine, Douglas Groteis, wrote a book, Unmasking the New Age. It was a bestseller in the mid-1980s. Then he started writing Revealing the New Age Jesus and several other books. And eventually the publisher said, no, we don't want to publish books anymore because they're not selling well, so the New Age movement's not big in America today anymore. And he was trying to convince them that The problem is not that, you know, see, we don't hear about the New Age movement much anymore, okay? And but it's kind of like, when's the last time you heard somebody talking about oxygen or air? And just, you know, walked up to you and just said, man, isn't that great how much air we had yesterday? I just felt really good about it. I mean, we just take air. We take oxygen for granted, so we don't talk about it, okay? And the reason why we don't talk much about the New Age movement, I would agree with Douglas, Professor Douglas Grotius, teaches at Denver Seminary now, but I would agree to him. The reason why we don't talk about the New Age movement anymore, because the New Age movement is not a part of American culture anymore. The New Age movement and neo-pagan thought is American culture. Okay? So it's not this thing that everybody's interested in. It now defines American culture. And if you don't understand that, you won't understand how come our culture is progressively getting more and more intolerant of Christians and of those who hold the true biblical beliefs. It's because this is not our culture anymore. I think that was the only statement that our president, President Obama, said where I agreed with him. Where he said, we are not a Christian nation. And I thought I couldn't agree with him more. And all my colleagues were getting upset with him. And I was just, they're saying, yes, we are a Christian nation. I thought, dude, what are you talking about? This is in the 1940s, okay? Things have changed. We're slaughtering over a million babies a year before they're born in a Christian nation. This is not a Christian nation. We're no more Christian and no more pleasing to God than the Jews were right before God allowed the pagan Babylonians to conquer them. And so we're on the outside looking in. And in a culture that prides themselves in tolerance, guess what? They can't tolerate believers. And so I think we're living in the midst of these doctrines and demons, and it's coming from the New Age movement. I would just call it neo-paganism, kind of a newer form of paganism, a revival of the ancient pagan beliefs. And so that's what the New Age movement is. It's a current revival of ancient occultism, ancient secret arts, you know, the demonic beliefs of the Egyptian and Chaldean magicians and the Persian magicians and sorcerers and things of that sort. And now it's making a comeback in modern times. It's also the immersing of the United States with Hindu Eastern thought. Okay? So trying to get us to embrace a non-personal God, a God who's a force. So it's no longer the Lord be with you. Now it's the force be with you. It's kind of trying to have this tame God where he's not really in charge, or it's not really in charge, and you can be your own God and do your own thing. Okay? And then the New Age movement also involves the belief that man is evolving spiritually towards a new age of peace, a coming age of peace and enlightenment. Okay? And some of these people will say, well, the only thing stopping us from achieving that point are all these this religious bigotry that's coming out from traditional Muslims, traditional Christians, and traditional Jews. That's why we have to be real careful. When we come down on Islam, we have to be very, very careful. You know, many Christians do not mind us, the United States, torturing suspected Muslim terrorists, okay? But the fact of the matter is, in some circles, some New Age and secular circles, Christianity is viewed just as bad as Islam, okay? And in fact, I would argue in America today, if you get interviewed on CNN, you could talk about Christians killing people all over the world with absolutely no evidence for it, and they won't even question you. But if you say the obvious, there's Muslims killing innocent people all over the world, right away, they've got to correct you and say, well, that's not true Islam, as if Muslim had no blood on his sword, as if Muhammad had no blood on his sword. So whatever the case, we've got to be very careful, because some of these people are saying, if we can just get these traditional Christians and traditional Muslims and traditional Jews out of the way, then maybe we'd have an open door. By the way, when the tribulation starts, I think there's going to be a lot of Muslims. You know, anybody who believes there is a God and you're not him is probably not going to want to bow before the Antichrist. So it's possible that the only people we're going to have to witness to are really weird atheists who believe in liberty and don't like big government. Jews and Muslims who refuse to take the mark and submit to the Antichrist. So again, another plug for Pat's lectures tonight. Learn how to dialogue with Muslims and learn about their quote-unquote holy book, the Quran. But Barbara Marx Hubbard, she was one of the higher-ups in the Jimmy Carter administration when he was president. But she believes that we'll reach this new age of peace and enlightenment when all mankind embraces the belief that man is God. And so she divides the world into three groups. 25% of the world's population is ready for the new age. They believe man is God. 50% don't know what they believe, and they could be convinced to believe that man is God. And then the other 25%, there's no place at the New World Order table for Barbara Marx. I mean, she looks like this little kind grandmotherly character. I don't even know if she's still alive, because she's up in years now, but she believes we need to exterminate one of every four people on the planet Earth because they're traditional Christians, traditional Muslims, and traditional Jews who believe there is a God and you're not him. And she calls that selfishness, because you believe you exist as a separate self from others, whereas New Agers believe all reality is one being. And then she believes that by exterminating us, we'll get reincarnated, and who knows, maybe we'll get closer to the omega point or whatever it is that she thinks needs to be attained. So whatever the case, this starts out, if you have New Age neighbors, chances are they're going to be some of the most pleasant, mellow people in the neighborhood, okay? But the leaders of the movement are a little bit more consistent and realize, see, they view, the New Age movement views man as God, but they view man collectively, okay? It's a problem with Nazism. That's one of the main problems with communism and with socialism. It views man important only collectively. But Christianity says, no, human beings are important, infinitely important, even as individuals, because we were created in God's image. So New Age movement, man is God. That sounds, wow, that sounds even better. The man created in God's image, but man is God kind of collectively. So if you got a few dead branches on the tree and you want to enhance the growth of the tree, what do? You cut them off. And so we've got some New Age, powerful political globalists that are talking about the perfect number of human beings on the planet Earth is 1 billion. Some say 500 million. That's pretty problematic, since we reached about 7 billion right now. So nobody's telling you how, you know, that they're trying to figure out what things can we do to cut the world's population back so far. I mean, this makes Adolf Hitler look like a puppy dog. He and Stalin never produced numbers like this. And so this idea that the revival of ancient occultism, Eastern religious beliefs, blending with the idea that we're evolving towards a new age of peace and enlightenment. Well, what about the history of the New Age movement? How did it come into existence? Its ideas have its roots in ancient occultism, ancient occultic arts, but the modern form of the New Age movement, the New Age movement itself, got its start from Helena Blavatsky. In 1875, she was from Russia, and she started the Theosophical Society in 1875. They had three goals: universal brotherhood of mankind, unity of all the religions, believing all the religions lead to God. Of course, they always change Christianity to make it fit into that paradigm, because Christianity teaches salvation is only through Jesus. They promoted spiritism, you know, trying to communicate with the spirits of the dead, seances, and Hindu philosophy into the United States. And so this led to the current revival of ancient occultism in the United States, known as the New Age movement. They say that Blavatsky taught the world awaits many avatars, manifestations of God who reveal truth to the world. By the way, you'll see movies like that, Disney movies, Avatar, and stuff like that. And even in The Lion King, you've got like Eastern meditation in there. You've got all these Eastern themes that are creeping into education, into entertainment. And it's not that the entertainment is leading us astray. The culture is influencing the entertainment industry, which then promotes it and then further leads people astray. But it's more of a cycle. And but these avatars are supposed to be manifestations of God who reveal truth to the world. So Jesus is just one of the many avatars, Buddha, Muhammad, Gandhi, or others. Annie Besant led the Theosophical Society after Blavatsky died. And then Alice Bailey was another key member of the Theosophical Society. And she communicated with many spirit guides. And the Theosophical books are still popular in New Age circles today. And then Alice Bailey, she started a company called Lucis Trust, but the original name was Lucifer Publishing Company. In the 1930s, you look at their books, it says Lucifer Publishing Company. Because the Theosophical Society teaches that Lucifer got a bad rap. He really is the one who enlightens us, okay? And teaches us the truth, that the lie in the garden, that if man disobeys God, man shall be as God, that's not really a lie. That's the truth that sets us free. So so they teach that Lucifer was really a good guy. But the book sales were really low for Lucifer Publishing Company, so they changed the name to Lucis Trust. I believe it's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust. And they still publish under there. Now, let me just explain what kind of an impact, if you want to think about what kind of an impact the Theosophical Society is having and is going to have on America and Europe, since we're so saturated with this neo-pagan thought that grew out of the Theosophical Society, just to show its effects, how horrible they can be. The German branch of the Theosophical Society was called the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E. The Thule Society. In fact, out of the Thule Society, the Thule Society basically produced the Nazi movement, a revival of ancient German pagan myths combined with evolutionary teaching and an anti-Christian and anti-Jewish passion. And that's all out of the Thule Society, which was the German branch of the Theosophical Society. In fact, the Nazis got the swastika from Helena Blavatsky, who got it from Hinduism. Although Hinduism, it moves in the opposite direction. Hinduism teaches that we need to be one with nature. Theosophy and the Nazism says, no, we need to dominate and control nature. So we need to take nature and move it in the direction that we want it to go, okay? So so whatever the case, that's where it kind of got into American thought. Now, when America was founded, Christian theism, the Judeo-Christian biblical worldview was the primary worldview from the time the pilgrims came to America, about 1611, straight to about, belief in God, the God of the Bible, traditional values. It shows up in these beliefs show up in the Declaration of Independence and the Living of the Pilgrims. And even in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, you see Christian themes. And so from about 1611 to about 1860, the dominant worldview in America. Not everybody was Christian. Not all our founding fathers were Christian. Some of them were deist. A deist believes God created the universe and then he leaves it alone. He doesn't perform miracles. Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin were deists. Now, they were pro-Christian deists. They were willing to pray, and they believed God could answer prayer without superseding the laws of nature. They thought the laws of nature could not be superseded by God. They didn't believe in miracles, but they were, and they thought Christianity was good to keep order. Whereas the French Jacobin deists were anti-Christian deists. They guillotined the clergy and bulldozed the churches. But whatever the case, most Americans were Christians from about 1611 to 1860. But deism had already been popular in some circles, especially in academic circles, even though the Christian worldview was the primary thing being taught back then. But with Charles Darwin and The Origin of Species in 1859 and evolution gaining supposedly scientific credibility, all of a sudden people started watering down. Americans started watering down their Christian beliefs. So it was more, Christianity became more of a nice moral way to live your life. But we started to doubt these miracles that the Bible teaches about. So I think we had a shift in thought from about 1860 to 1930, where though we rejected atheism, our theistic God of the Bible was becoming more and more deistic, okay? From about 1930 to 1960, the secularists began to take over, and they took control of the schools. You had the monkey trial, the Scopes monkey trial in 1925. By the way, if you watch the movie Inherit the Wind, I found at least 50 different inaccuracies in that movie about what really happened. So that's revisionist history there. But this big idea, science versus the Bible, is just baloney. It was the biblical worldview that founded modern science. But American society began to get more and more secularized as our schools were taken over by atheists and the entertainment industry and the media. And I would say this, that even from 1930 to 1960, most of society rejected philosophical atheism. In other words, most of the society would not say they were atheists. In fact, to this day, over 90% of Americans believe in or are open to belief in the existence of God. Very few are actual atheists. And so most of society rejected philosophical atheism, but they accepted practical atheism. In other words, they kept their beliefs out here, and they lived as if there is no God. So all of a sudden, you know, in the 1960s and the hippie culture and the drugs and the sexual immorality and things of that sort. But with the 1960s, you had another major shift moving away from secular humanism. You had LSD trips, you had the hippie movement, you had all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So we started moving from more of a secular society to a neo-pagan society. And then I think from about 1990 on, you have Americans still seeking spiritual experiences, starving for spiritual experiences because we acted like all that exists is the material realm. Yet, man does not live on bread alone, says Jesus. So we began to seek spiritual experiences, but we were rejecting the true God of the Bible and traditional values, and Americans became ripe for the New Age movement and the idea that man can save the planet, God is the universe, man is God, there's no such thing as right and wrong. Even by 1982, Gallup polls revealed that 23% of Americans already back then believed in reincarnation. I wouldn't be surprised if that total has doubled by now. And over 65% of Americans in 1982 read astrology, and 40% claimed to have had contact with the dead. Okay, so we're moving. It's kind of like whereas the intellectuals went from Christianity, the Christian worldview, to atheism, to neo-paganism or the New Age movement, the populace went from biblical Christianity to kind of a watered-down Christianity coupled with superstitious-type beliefs. And it just sets us up perfectly to transition into New Age-type thought. And so America has gone from being a Christian culture to a secular, atheistic culture. And now I would argue that the movers and the shakers of our culture now are more pantheistic, more neo-pagan. The New Age influence has infected the public schools, business seminars, politics. You get people wanting us to worship the earth, and it's amazing how, as ungodly as American culture is right now, it's amazing how prosperous we could be if we were just allowed to work hard. And with the resources God has blessed us with, but so many of those resources, we can't tap into them because of the green movement, because of the globalists who want us to worship the earth. And even the New Age is having a great influence on science through quantum physics. I can't get into the details there. The United Nations is saturated with neo-pagan thought. By the way, the UN building in New York City in Manhattan, the meditation room, is funded by and overseen by the Rockefeller Foundation and Lucis Trust, which is from the Theosophical Society. So whenever they choose a chaplain for the UN, it's always a guy that whenever they take his picture, very rarely all you see are the whites of the guy's eyes, because they always get some Eastern guru who can't get out of his trance-like state. I mean, it's just like I guess is the most demonic guy they could find, and so he becomes the UN chaplain. By the way, if you think the UN's going to save us and stuff like that, come talk to me after the service. I got a bridge in Brooklyn. I want to sell you. But believe me, the UN does not have the answer to our problems. And it's just another attempt to build the Tower of Babel. Liberal Christianity is more New Age than it is Christian. That's why we see the same-sex marriages and things of that sort. Paganism comes with its own different set of moral views. And so what we see in our culture with the sexual immorality and the promotion of evil sexual behavior, that's all part of this shift in worldview and the embracing of neo-pagan ideas. The New Age movement has great influence on movies, on certain segments of psychology. Certain segments of psychology have gone away from the biblical view of man and the biblical view of the soul and the biblical view of giving advice and counseling. It went toward in a secular direction with people like Sigmund Freud, and now eventually we're going in a neo-pagan New Age direction. And common New Age practices, astrology and reading of horoscopes, the whole ESP movement, extrasensory perception, Eastern meditation, occultic healing, vegetarianism. Let me tell you, if you say, you know what, I don't like the taste of meat, I never did, so I don't eat meat, I'm okay with that. Personally, I come from a long line of meat eaters, going back to Noah's sons, and uninterrupted. I don't want to ruin it. We got a good thing going. But if you get sick by eating meat, and for health reasons you stay away from meat, or for taste reasons you stay away from meat, I'm okay with that. But don't tell me that you're going to get closer to God by staying away from meat, because that's not what the Bible says. Now, God may call you to fast for a day. He may call you to fast for a week, okay? That's a whole different thing. But the idea that we're going to be closer to God by not eating meat, that is not a biblical view. The New Age view is they don't want to eat meat because they believe animals are also God. Okay? But they're not consistent because they also believe plant life is God. So, you know, what are the vegans don't eat meat and they don't eat dairy products. I met one at Olympic College. I gave a lecture on the New Age movement, and he was real upset with me. This guy was like, I don't know, 5'8", probably weighed 95 pounds soaking wet. And he was telling me, I not only don't eat meat, I don't eat dairy products either. And I said two things. Number one, you're not being consistent with your worldview. You need to stop eating plant life as well. So, and in other words, if you believe the whole universe is God, you wouldn't eat at all. So that's not a really, really good future for the New Age movement. The other thing I told him, I was just kidding with the guy, but I said, whatever you do, dude, don't mess with a meat eater. Because this guy had like skin and bones. He was a little guy, and he needed some meat. I felt like taking him to Burger King and beefing him up a little bit. But whatever the case, that vegetarianism as a in an attempt to worship the earth is from the pits of hell. The Wiccan movement that we talked about a few weeks ago, fortune telling, that whole animal rights movement. I love animals. What? How long did I spend petting my dog yesterday? I must have been petting her for 20 minutes. It was a new record for me. And I love animals, okay? But the fact of the matter is they don't have rights. If animals have rights, how come we're not arresting lions for taking down zebras, okay? Animals do not have rights. See, to have rights, you've got to have responsibilities, okay? So humans have rights because we also have responsibilities, okay? We're held accountable. Animals, on the other hand, they don't have rights. Now, if animals don't have rights, then how come Christians just don't go out and just kill them for fun or torture them? Well, it would be like if John gave me a gift. If John said, look, I want to give you this gift. I love you and this and that. And he gives me his gift. And I say, oh, thank you so much. And then I drop it on the ground and start stomping on it. Okay? That would be a horrible thing to do. But that's exactly what we do. When God gave man dominion over all of creation. But if we take the gifts that God has given us, and instead of being faithful stewards of God's property, if we trample it under our feet, that's a slap in the face of God. And so we should treat animals with dignity, not because they have rights, but because they're gifts to us from God. So there's, you know, if you like eating meat, there's a proper way and an ethical way to kill a cow. And to make meat, you know, to make that meal and stuff, you don't torture animals just for the sake of torture, okay? And by the way, because of the New Age movement, you'll have perfume sometimes that will boast it was not tested on animals. And that sounds so nice, but guess what that means? It was probably tested on young college students who couldn't afford their tuition, and so they sign a waiver, and you can test them with all kinds of stuff as long as they sign, and sometimes they get $25 an hour, you know? Now, they might also get some diseases, too, but isn't it nice we're not testing this stuff on animals? A lot of the ecological activism, channeling, voluntary possession, allowing supposedly a spirit of a dead person from thousands of years ago to speak through you. In reality, it's demon possession. Visualization. You'll hear this in a lot of churches where they encourage you to visualize something and they see that as biblical faith. Let me tell you, biblical faith is always faith in Jesus, faith in the triune God, faith in God's word. It's never faith in your own ability to visualize your own future. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with encouraging people and saying God created you for great things and you have great potential, and then encouraging them. Now you need to work hard to get out there and prove yourself and all, and you need to be disciplined and all. But that's a lot different than saying, you know, I create my own reality through positive confession. Okay? Yes, it is correct. God created the entire universe by speaking it into existence. But it is a false conclusion to draw from that to say, therefore, I can speak into existence my own reality. No. You're living in God's reality. He's the one who created it. And God has given us free will. And he's given us a certain amount of control. But in the end, it's not the stars that control us. It's not our positive or negative confessions that control us. It is the Lord alone who is sovereign and who is ultimately in control. And then out-of-body travel, numerology, the belief that numbers control us, all these things are New Age practices. They've infected both Christianity and Judaism as well as our secular culture. So what I want to do with the remainder of our time, just spend a few minutes talking about different New Age beliefs and how they are not biblical. So I'm not going to get into a big philosophical refutation of the New Age movement. That's easy to do. But I'm just going to say that as Christians, we should see through these lies and see that the New Age beliefs of Oprah are the antithesis of what the Bible teaches. First, they teach pantheism, that God is the universe and that God is a non-personal force. All reality is one. It's also called monism. Now, some New Agers are not pantheists. Pan is the Greek word for everything. Theos, for God, so everything is God. Panentheism is everything in God. And so some New Agers will say that the universe is God's body rather than God being the universe. So some New Agers will say this pulpit is God because everything is God. Whereas the panentheist will say, well, God is in this pulpit. The Christian should say, no, God created everything else that exists, so man fashioned this from some of the things that God created, from the material God created. But the belief that God is the universe, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Theologians say he created ex nihilo. He created everything out of nothing. Okay? God miraculously created the entire physical universe out of nothing. He even created the invisible world of angels out of nothing. And so so the idea that God is the universe is false. The idea that God is a non-personal force is false. See, a door is a non-personal thing. Electricity is a non-personal thing. So electricity doesn't love you. Okay? But the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We get a God that loves us. We can enter into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ because God is a personal God. In fact, he's a tri-personal God. The one true God is three equal co-eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. King David says in Psalm 94:9, he who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, can he not see? So if God could give us sight and hearing, surely he must be able to see and hear. Okay? The idea that God is just this non-personal force and personality is beyond that is ludicrous. Self-deification. New Agers believe that man is God. That's the lie from Satan in the garden, that if you disobey God, you eat of the forbidden fruit, you shall be as gods. Man shall become God. Lucifer himself fell, Isaiah 14:12-14, because he believed he wanted to be like the Most High God. Okay? See, we want to be God-like. We want to be more like Jesus. We don't want to be God. The Christian says, worship God. The New Ager says, you are God. Worship yourself. Okay? And, it amazes me that Mormons teach the doctrine of eternal progression, that Mormon males can become God someday. And when they teach that from their little notebooks, I remember when Kenny showed me the notebook that the Mormon missionaries gave to him, and the very first passage that they chose to teach that men can become gods was right there from Lucifer in the garden, from the serpent. And I thought, man, if you're going to say that you're going to teach one of your most important doctrines, and the first one who taught it in the Bible was Satan himself, what does that tell you about your most important doctrines? And obviously, Mormonism is a non-Christian cult. So the Bible teaches, look, there is a God, and you're not him. And whereas the New Age movement teaches that man is God. New Agers believe in reincarnation. The soul passes through the cycle of death and rebirth. The soul is incarnated in many different bodies. Some New Agers believe you can come back as an animal. Others believe you can only come back as a human. And then eventually you escape the cycle of reincarnation and you become one with the world soul. And you become one with God. And they act like you got to go through these different incarnations to work through or suffer off some of the negative karma. But the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus alone paid for our sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay? He alone paid the price for our sins. We don't pay for them ourselves. Hebrews 9:27 said it's appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. The story of Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man in the hereafter, you see, you don't get a second chance. Luke 16:19-31. The New Agers teach illusionism, that the world is an illusion. It's not. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Colossians 1:15, Jesus created not only the visible, but the invisible realm as well. They are real. They really do exist. You know, by the way, nobody can live consistently with the teaching that the physical world is an illusion. Because last I heard, you still got to eat in order to continue to exist, to continue to make your denial of the existence of the physical world. They teach relativism. There's no absolute truth and no absolute moral laws. The Bible clearly teaches. Jesus said, if you come to him for salvation, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus calls God's word thy truth. Jesus calls himself the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. They say there's no absolute truth. By the way, the statement, there is no absolute truth, the only way that could be true, it would have to be an absolute truth. So it has to be false. Okay? So if anybody says there is no absolute truth, ask them, are you making a truth claim? Because if you're not making a truth claim, I'm just going to ignore you. But if you are making a truth claim, you just disprove your own claim to truth. And the belief there's no absolute moral laws, Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments, makes it real clear that, you know, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt this and thou shalt not that. There is right and wrong, and the moral lawgiver, God himself, lets us know what is right and what is wrong. And sin is real. We need to acknowledge that we're sinners. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If you claim you have no sin, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. Well, sin makes no sense unless there is right and wrong. And when you've done sin, you've done that which is wrong. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If there is no such thing as morality, no such thing as right and wrong, no such thing as good and evil, then Jesus wasted his time on the cross. There'd be no need for God the Son to become a man and die for us on the cross unless there really is such a thing as right and wrong and as good and evil. New Agers do embrace evolution, and they believe the world and mankind are evolving. Genesis 1 and 2 is clear. God created the universe. He created man from the dust of the ground, breathed life into his nostrils, and then formed Eve from his side. Okay? Adam and Eve didn't come from monkeys. They were created by God. And they teach globalism. There's the coming one world government, and we should back that. And let me tell you, God was opposed to it in the Old Testament. He's opposed to it in the New Testament, and he's opposed to having one world government right now. Okay? Genesis 11. Now, I will say this. The best possible government for mankind is a one world government headed by an all-powerful, all-good king. We'll get that when Jesus returns. Until then, the worst possible government is a one-world government headed by a less-than-perfect king, especially if he happens to be demon-possessed. We'll get that when the Antichrist reigns. So until Jesus comes back, the best government we could possibly have is a human government that protects human life, because we were created in God's image. Human life is sacred. And we need protecting because man has fallen. It's the best kind of government you could have is limited government, where you have a system of checks and balances and separation of powers, so no human beings can unleash their sinfulness on the rest of mankind. Human leaders are fallen. We need human government because man has fallen, but human leaders are fallen, so we've got to check them. So in other words, something like the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, that's a good direction to go, rather than what we're seeing right now. But God didn't like the Tower of Babel. God is totally opposed to unity unless it's unity in Christ. If it's unity opposed to Christ, like the Tower of Babel, God is going to intervene. And the United Nations is just a return of the Tower of Babel. It's just a comeback of the Tower of Babel. I mean, right on the door, they have a verse from Isaiah. Well, they'll turn their weapons into plowshares. But that's a prediction that Messiah is going to return and bring peace to the earth. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He'll bring peace to the earth. Was RG3, the quarterback, he was on crutches. He was wearing a shirt that said, no, N-O, no Jesus, no peace. And then K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. And the NFL said, no, we don't want that message going out. That's intolerant. So they made him put down his crutches and hop around on one leg, take his shirt off, turn it inside out. He was bare-chested in front of a whole crowd, and he's a pretty modest guy. He probably didn't like that. Turn his shirt inside out and put it on, and then take his crutches, and then they start the interview and roll in the cameras. And so the world doesn't like that, but I'm telling you, you want peace? You'll get your peace. This world will get its peace when the Prince of Peace returns. Any man-made attempt to bring global peace to the planet Earth is a utopian dream. Utopia means no place. It's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. If it's going to accomplish anything, it's going to lead to genocide, democide, death by government. It's going to lead to the slaughter of millions, if not the slaughter of billions. Remember, we saw this before, rear its ugly head, in Nazi Germany. Just put that on a global scale. That's what the New Age movement will do. Richard Terrell wrote a book, Resurrecting the Third Reich, where he showed the occultic roots of Nazism and then showed that now this is repeating itself on a global scale through the New Age movement. So it's no wonder that the book went out of print. Okay, so this idea of globalism, we're going to get that one world government someday, Revelation 13, with the Antichrist ruling it. And by the way, how many of us know that in the Obamacare, in the thousands of pages of Obamacare, they've got a provision where we're all supposed to get an RFID chip implanted so that they could check all our health records immediately just by scanning, but then we can also be monitored everywhere we go. And I just watched a video on YouTube where they're arguing the only reason why they weren't able to bring it about was because their last few attempts to disarm Americans have failed. So keep in mind, if you're the kind of person who doesn't like firearms, I don't care. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But just please promote the right to bear arms, because once the people are totally disarmed, then the government will do whatever it feels like doing. Right now, our leaders, when our leaders want to do bad stuff to us, they have to lie and pretend they think it's going to work for our good. So our leaders have to lie about things like Obamacare and pretend that they really think it's going to help us. And as long as they can fool enough of us, they can get away with taking more control over our lives and winning more votes in the process. Okay? Once they disarm us, then you don't have to fool people anymore. You don't have to lie to them. You just say, hey, this is the way things are. You don't like it. We can put you away or we can get rid of you. And then the belief in syncretism, religious pluralism, all religions will unite, all religions lead to God. Jesus of Nazareth, I seem to remember him saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, that's not real popular to say that nowadays, but let me tell you, I don't care if it's popular. If it's true, and if it's God's word, we got to proclaim it at the top of our lungs until the Lord Jesus returns in glory. But the idea that all religions lead to God is not true. You have to change Christianity to make it compatible with the false religions. But true biblical Christianity says, no, there's salvation through one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God-man. God, the second person of the Trinity, become a man. The idea there's a new age, a coming age of peace and enlightenment. I want us to look at a passage here real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Paul says this, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So when the world thinks that we're going to have peace and safety, then destruction's going to come. Okay? The Old Testament is filled with God condemning false prophets who say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Okay? And let me tell you, our president tried to sign a peace treaty between the Jews and the Palestinians last year. The Jews didn't accept it. It wasn't in their best interest. And President Obama has just been ticked off at the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. Now there's indications that our president would like him to lose in the elections in March 17th in Israel and have Netanyahu replaced, so when they go back to the next round of peace talks, maybe it'll come about. But I'm telling you, the day's going to come when some global leader is going to sign a 7-year peace treaty with Israel and the Palestinians, and it's going to look like, wow, the world has accomplished peace through this great peacemaker. Let me tell you, if it's not the Jesus of the Bible, it's going to be Satan incarnate. It's going to be the Antichrist himself. And we need to have the Bible in one hand and our newspapers on the other hand. Only problem is newspapers don't really report the news anymore, so you got to do some digging on the internet. And channeling is just voluntary possession. We looked at that passage in Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 12. God tells us not to try to consult with the spirits of the dead. It opens us up to demonic deception, and that's what the channeling movement is all about. People voluntarily allowing themselves to be possessed to allow spirit entities to speak through them. It's demonic deception. Just a couple more things I want to mention, and then I'll close. Eastern meditation. The Bible, when you get a chance, look at Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. And it's talking about the man who's blessed of God. And the man who's blessed of God meditates on God's word day and night. If you look up in a Strong's Concordance, meditate or meditation, you're going to find like a page of tons and tons of verses from the scriptures commanding us to meditate. We should meditate more than anybody else meditates. But the biblical meditation is like this. You hear the word properly preached. You read the word yourself. Then you try to really figure out what it means. You study it, okay? Then you should, when you really understand what a passage teaches and that you're not taken out of context, then you should memorize it, okay? And then the final stage is when you, after you memorize and understand and study the scriptures, then you should just relax sometimes and just meditate on the principles from God's word. When we meditate, we focus our minds, we remove from our minds our own sinful desires, the stresses of this world, and we focus on principles from God's word. That and that alone is biblical meditation. Eastern meditation, you just try to relax to the point where you cease from rational thought. You try to totally empty the control of your mind. Look, it doesn't matter if you get high on drugs, or if you get drunk from alcohol, or if you empty your mind doing Eastern New Age meditation. If you surrender the control of your mind, there are evil spirit entities called demons who are more than willing to come in and take control. Okay? You create a vacant house, they're going to come in and move in. And so so Eastern meditation, the emptying of the mind, attempts to unite with this false god, opens the mind to demonic influence. Jesus commanded us to love him with all of our minds. Okay? Jesus wants us to meditate on God's word. We're also commanded, forbidden to partake of the vain repetition of the pagans in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And finally, one other point, the UFO movement. I believe this is demonic deception. That, you know, most cases, 95% of the time, people are not seeing what they think they're seeing, and it can be explained naturalistically. But there are real encounters and real abduction cases and real physical manifestations. And but the message over and over again is a New Age anti-Christian message. And that's why John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, test the spirits because they are not all from God. And the way you... King is still on the throne.